We're holding on Pei Omid Bey's five lines from the bottom, six lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had said, "V'cholin she'omru tolas shalcha." If you gave something to a craftsman to repair, to make, or repair for you, and they told you, "Come pick it up," v'hobi mois, and then you can bring the money later, then shor mechinam from that point on, there was shor mechinam. Up until that point, we said there was shor mesachar, and we discussed why that is. We ended up saying a couple of possibilities. One of them being because he has hana from the fact that he's holding on to it to guarantee that he's going to get his pay. But now, once he says, pick it up and you can pay me later, then he becomes a shomachin. So the Gemara says, Tnan Hasam. We learn later on in our Masechta, Omalei Shoyel Shlach. Suppose that a person wants to borrow something from somebody else. Let's say he wants to borrow an animal. So the Shoyel tells him, send the animal to me. The Shocha, so he sent it. Umesa, and it died on the way before it got to him. So he told him, let's say, send it to me with your Eved or your Shliach or whatever, and he did, and it died on the way, Chayev. So then the Shoyel is Chayev in everything, including Onsim, because the other guy had said, because the other guy had sent it according to his instructions. And the same thing, the Mishnah says, would be true when he's returning it. The opposite is true. If the Mashil, if the owner of the thing says, send it to me with your Eved or your Shliach or whatever, and it dies on the way, then at that point he's potter because now it's out of his Rishus. So now, Omar Rafram Ba Papa, Omar Rav Chista Lo Shanu Ala Shech Zira Vasechi Mei Shei Losa. That would only apply, the second part of the Mishnah would only be when he returned it during the time that he was supposed that he was supposed to have been borrowing it. So he had asked to begin with to borrow this animal for a month. In the end, he doesn't need it for a full month, and now he's returning it. And now he's returning it during that time. Avol Achay Mei Shei Losa. But Rafram Ba Papa says if he's to return it after the time of the borrowing is over, Potter, then he would be Potter, even if the other guy hadn't told him to send it, even if he unilaterally sent it. In other words, the Mishnah was talking about specifically that Reuven has borrowed something from Shimon, and in the Sefer we're talking about that Shimon says to Reuven, you know what, you don't need to bring it all the way to me, send it to me with your Shliach or what have you. As opposed to the implication would be that if Shimon were to return it to Reuven on his own without but with his shliach, then he would be still mechayev until it reaches Reuven's reshus. So now Rafram Bar Papa says that's only true during the time of the she'ela, but not after it. Then potter. Then at that point he'd be potter, even if even though the other guy hadn't told him to send it with his shliach. So the Gemara says, Mosiv Rav Nachman Bar Papa. So Rav Nachman Bar Papa asks a question on that. Now Rafram Bar Papa and Rav Nachman Bar Papa, we list them actually among the 10 sons of Rapapa when we make a Siyum Masechta. Not all the 10 that we list over there, it seems, lived in the same generation, but here, obviously, they did since they're talking to one another. Could be that they are two of the brothers. Could be that Rafram and Rav Nachman are both the sons of the famous Rapapa, or it could be not. The name Papa was in somewhat common use then, so maybe they weren't related. Anyway, Rav Nachman Rapapa asks him, and what about our Mishnah? We said, "V'cholon she'omru tolas shalcha v'havi mois." In our Mishnah, we're saying that if he says, "Pick up your thing and then bring me the money later," shor mechinam, then at that point he's a shor mechinam, because by saying that he's implying, "I don't want to be a shomer on it anymore. I don't want to have the degree of responsibility of a shomer sofer. So you come pick it up as soon as possible." Hog mautiv, implying that if he hadn't said pick it up, if he just let him know, "I finished it." Shoma Sachar, then he still remains a Shoma Sachar. So even though the owner knows, in other words, that he's finished with it already, he finished fixing it or whatever, nevertheless, he didn't say pick it up, therefore, and he remains a Shoma Sachar. So then by a Shoyal also, yes, the owner knows that the time is up, nevertheless, he should still have the responsibility of a Shoyal. Mela, if the owner of the thing tells him, you send it to me with your shliach or whatever, okay, well, then you mean, in other words, that once I do that, I'll be potter from the responsibility for it. But if you didn't say that, and I decided unilaterally to do that on my own, based on our Mishnah, it sounds like he should still be chayev, whereas you, Rafram, our papa, are saying that he'd be potter. Now, Tosfos points out that the fact is, in the case of the craftsman, we said he has the advantage that as long as he keeps it, he still has the ability to demand his pay. So how is that anything different than a shoyl? And Tosfos says actually. So first of all, Tosfos says that. So actually, Tosfos says that what it is this that we said before, what the Gemara called tofis leya agri, that he's holding on to it. in order to get his pay, that's not the only condition that you need. You also need that he's also, you also need that he's gaining something for, that you also need, you also have that he's gaining something. And so, in, and so in the case of, so in the case of the craftsman, then, so in the case of a shoyo, you don't have that because he's not, he's not keeping it in order to get a pay because there's no pay. There's no pay involved. So therefore, so that you could, therefore you could draw the distinction and say that, so yeah, so Tosfos says, in other words, that that's the difference with a actually the previous Tosfos at the bottom of Peyam and Beis pointed out that there's a difference anyway between an uman and a socha, which we talked about yesterday. That the uman most of the time is doing the malacha in the balabas's house and doesn't have anything to hold on to. This one has an advantage, but in addition, there's also the point that it's not enough for that. It also needs to be that while he's still earning his pay, as opposed to here by a show, you don't have that consideration. Okay. So the Gemara says. So the point of the question is that we're saying by the craftsman that once he says I'm finished with it, he still retains his level of shmirah. Why is it by a shoyl? Why would you, Raphram, be saying that once he says that once he's finished with the time of she'ela and he's returning it unilaterally, he should already be potter until it comes out, until it goes out of his rishus? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. The Mishnah may be implying, ha, have mois for tolus shofa, only if the craftsman says, bring the money first and then pick up your thing. In other words, I'm not going to release it back to you without paying the money. Then he remains a shomer socher. The Mishnah is not necessarily addressing the case where he just says, I'm finished it. In other words, there's three possibilities. When you take something to somebody to fix for you, there's three possibilities. He could say, I'm done with it. He could say, come pick it up and you can pay me later. Or you can say, bring me the money and then you can pick it up. So the Mishnah is saying that if he says, pick it up and then you can bring me the money, then he becomes a shomer chinam. The implication may just be that if he says the other way around, he remains a shomer socher. As far as if he says gemartiv, then the Mishnah is not addressing one way or the other. And it might be that if he says gemartiv without saying anything else, maybe that makes him still a shomer socher. But maybe like Raphram says, it would downgrade him to a shomer chinam. So the Gemara says, "Abu Gemartiv my shomer chinam." So in other words, Tosfos says Gemartiv, in other words, we could say would remain a shomer chinam because after all he's done. But when he specifically says, "Holy Moris for Tolos Shocha, bring money and only then I'll release it to you," then he's making it clear that he still wants to be a shomer socher. He still wants to have that advantage of holding on to the thing as a guarantee that he'll get his money, which makes him a shomer socher. So the Gemara says, "Abu Gemartiv my." So what are you telling me that if he just says Gemartiv, I'm done with it, then what? Shremachinam. Then you'd say the implication of the Mishnah is a Shremachinam in order to make the Mishnah fit with what Raphram is saying. Ihachi Adatoni. Well, in that case, when the Mishnah says V'chulan Shomru Tolos Shachal B'Havi Mois Shremachinam, when the Mishnah says the opposite extreme case, when they say pick up yours and bring me some money, then there's Shremachinam. If you're going to tell me that even with the case of Gemautiv, which is sort of a middle thing, he's not saying specifically one way or the other what there's going to be as far as the money. So the Mishnah should tell us Nashmi'in and Gemautiv. The Mishnah should tell us the case where he says I'm done with it. And we would understand all the more so if he says that if you pick that, so we'd say that Gemautiv is a Shremachinam, and all the more so if he says, I'm done with it. Come, if he says, come pick it up and you can pay me later, all the more so we'd understand he's a Shremachinam. So why doesn't the Mishnah do that? And the answer is Tolos Shocha, it's Tzrichalei. In fact, there's a reason why the Mishnah needed to mention the Chiddush of Tolos Shocha. Sakdat Chamina, Shremachinam Nami Loyab. You might think at that point, maybe he's not even a Shemachinam anymore. Maybe at that point, by saying, come pick it up and you can pay me later, maybe he's saying, I don't want any degree of Shemira on it anymore. So therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah has to tell us that nevertheless, he remains a Shemachinam. So when it comes to a Shoyol, Rashi points out the difference is that you know to begin with how long you lent it to him for. So therefore, you don't need to inform him the time is up or whatever. As opposed to with a craftsman, he needs to inform you because he doesn't know, you don't know to begin with how long the thing is going to take. So he informs you at some point that it's ready and you can pick it up. But like this, in other words, we might have thought without the Mishnah telling us that you would say like this. If he says, pay me first and then pick it up, then he remains a Shemach Chinam. If he says, pick it up and then pay me. If he says Gemautiv, I'm done with it, without saying one way or the other, then that means a Shemachinam. But if he says pick it up and then pay me, then maybe he's not even a Shema Chinam. No, therefore, the Mishnah has to tell us even in that last case is a Shema Chinam. But yes, we can still say the Mishnah means that in the middle case where he says, Gmartiv, I'm done with it, then he would also be a Shema Chinam, and that would fit with what Rav and Bar Papa says. Okay. Ikadamri, the Gemara says another version of how the discussion went. It starts off with Omer of Nachman Bar Papa, Afanan Nami Tanena. So in the first version, we had Rav from Bar Papa making a statement in connection with the Mishnah later on Daf Tzadik Ches of Omer Sechta. Then Rav Nachman asking on him, and then the Gemara for inferring how our Mishnah doesn't contradict Rav from. Now there was another version of the discussion that went the other way around. Omer of Nachman Bar Papa, Afanan Nami Tanena. That when Raphram says his din, that when Raphram says his din, that once the time is up, then the shoyl is not considered a shoyl anymore, and therefore, even if he returns it, as soon as it leaves his possession and it's on the way, then he's not, or even not when it's on the way, even when it's still by him after the time, then he's not a shoyl anymore. So Nachman of Papa says Afanan Nami Tanena. In fact, you can prove that from the case of our Mishnah. The Cholin Shomer Tolos Shachal V'Havi Mois, where the Mishnah says that if the craftsman says, "Pick up your thing and then bring me the money," Shemachinam, my lab. Shouldn't we assume, says Reb Nachman, Hu Adin Gemartiv? Now the same rule would apply also if he says Gemartiv, which is the middle case. He would also be a Shemachinam. And again, the reason it says Tolos Shachal is for the Chiddush that we said before, to that we should realize he still is a Shemachinam and not that he loses his status as a Shomer entirely. And the Gemara says, "Loi, not necessarily is that a proof, because you could say that after all, the Mishnah means Tolos Shocha Shiny. It's different when he says Tolos Shocha. If he says Gmartiv, you could say he remains a Shema Sacher. Only when he says Tolos Shocha and then bring the money later, then he becomes a Shema Chinam, because now he's clearly saying, I don't want the responsibility for it anymore." In other words, we could look at it in both the first version and the second version. We could say that Gmartiv, I finished it, has an advantage and a disadvantage sort of over Tolos Shochal V'Havi Mois. You could say when he says Tolos Shochal V'Havi Mois, he's making it very clear, I don't want responsibility for this thing anymore, as opposed to Gmautiv, he's not saying that. So therefore you could say that he's more chayav. In the one case, he's still chayav more with Gmautiv, more than if he says Tolos Shocha. And again, we could say maybe that it's an equal degree of chiyuv, or maybe we could say with Tolos Shocha he has a lesser degree of chiyuv than Gmautiv. So that's the second version of how the discussion went. That it started with the first version again was Raphram said his din. Rav Nachman asked on it, and the Stam of the Gemara answered to for Raphram. Now it's the other way around. Raphram said his din. Rav Nachman attempted to bring a proof from our Mishnah to him, and the Stam of the Gemara says that not necessarily is that a solid proof. Now there was another way the discussion went. Huna Mar Bar Merema Kameid Ravina. Huna Mar, that was his name, the son of Merema, Kameid Ravina, standing as a Talmud in front of Ravina, Romi Masnissin Hadodi, he went about it a different way. He pointed out the contradiction between the Mishnayas or Mishani, and then he used Raphram's din to answer the contradiction. Tnan, Becholin Sha'amu Tolos Shachal V'Havi Moris Shemachinam. Our Mishnah is saying that once the craftsman says, pick up your thing and you'll pay me later on, then he becomes a Shema Chinam. And Vahua Din L'Gmautiv, we would assume that the same thing is true as far as Gmautiv as well. We would assume that, again, the reason why the Mishnah stresses that he's a Shema Chinam is just so we shouldn't think he's not a Shema at all. By saying he's a Shema Chinam, though, it doesn't mean to imply that Gmautiv is any stronger. Gmautiv would also still be a Shema Chinam as well. The problem with that is, Uraminu, but we have the contradiction from the Mishnah later on, Omalei Shoyl Shlach, that if the Shoyl says to the owner of the thing, send it to me with your Eved or whatever, the Sholcha, and he did, or Mason, it died on the way, Chayev, then he's Chayev to pay for it, because at that point it's already considered in his Rishus, since he asked for it to be sent to him that way, V'chein B'shal Shemachzira, and the same thing when he's returning it, implying, in other words, that, and the Mishnah is not drawing the distinction between whether it's, the Mishnah is saying that as long as the Mashal didn't tell him to send it, then it's still in the Rishus of the Shoyl. And it sounds like the Mishnah is not distinguishing whether the time of the She'ela is up, 30 days or whatever it is, are up, which is similar to Gemartiv. So you'd have a contradiction. What is the din on Gemartiv? Umashani, and he used Rav Raphram's din to answer the question. Omer Raphram Rav Papa, Omer Rav Chista, Lo Shanu El Sheikh Zira B'Sochimei Sheilasa. The din of that Mishnah later on and Daf Tzedek Ches would only be when he returned it during the time of the Sheila. So then he's still chayev unless the guy tells him to send it to me with your Eved or what have you. Up until that point, if he sends it unilaterally, then it's still considered in his rishus. But if he waits till after the time of the Sheila, then he would be potter, even if he sends it on his own, and that would be the same as the Gemartiv of our Mishnah. So the answer is that yes, that Gemartiv, he is going to be a Shemachinam like our Mishnah, and not a Shoyal anymore, because that Mishnah over there was talking about a different case where he returns it during the time of the Sheila. Okay, so a few different ways that this discussion went involving Raphram's din and the various Mishnayos that bear on it. Okay, so now we boil. So now we have a question. Since we've mentioned that Mishnah and we're discussing Raphram's din, that we're saying that that when he returns it after the time of She'ela, then at that point he's potter completely. And well, at that point he's potter. The question is, potter to what degree? Iboilu, potter b'shoyo v'chayev b'shem asachar. Do we mean that at that point he's no longer chayev with all the dinim of a shoyo, namely that he'd be chayev for unzin? But he'd still be chayiv like Hashem Asachar, he'd still be chayiv for Gneva Vaveda, for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain in a second. Or maybe by returning it after the time of the She'ela, maybe it means he's not even a Shem Asachar anymore, and he's potter from Gneva Vaveda. He obviously is the Ritva points out, he's obviously going to have some degree of Shmira, because after all, he has to return it to the owner. So at least we're going to put on him the degree of Shmira of Hashem Chinam, that he's chayev for Pshia. But the question is, are we also putting on him Gnev Aveda until it actually gets safely back to the owner? So Omer Amema Mestabra, Potem Mishayo, V'chayev K'shem Asafa. So Amema says, it's logical to say that we consider him, he's no longer a shoyal, but he's still chayev like a shema sacher. We're still going to apply to him the dinim of a shema sacher. Hoyo v'nena mahava hava, because after all, hoyo v'nena, because he had hana all this time, because he had the ability to use this thing all this time, and that's the shoyal as kol hana shaloi, mahana hava, therefore he should be mahana in return and tell the, and say, and remain with some higher degree of chiyuv until he actually returns it. So it's more logical to say that he remains a shema sacher for that reason. And the Gemara says, Tanya kavasei da amemer, we learn a braisa like the way amemer says it. A braisa described halakech kelim beisa uman, a person buys or takes the clothing or utensils or whatever from a craftsman. We're talking about over here a chosin who wants to send presents to his kala. So he's not sure though whether he's going to end up needing them. The question is, he's going to send them as presents to his kala and his kala's family. Are they going to like those presents or are they going to want to return them? So he goes to the craftsman. So let's say, for example, he goes, say, to the dressmaker and orders a bunch of dresses. To send them to his father-in-law's house as a present for his arusa. So he tells him, if they're willing to accept this from me in my father-in-law's house, then I'll pay you the full value of them. And if they don't want to accept it from me, then I'll return them to you and I'll only pay you for the tovas hana, for the fact that, after all, they're going to appreciate the fact that I brought presents. They don't want these particular presents, whether because they don't need them or they don't fit her or whatever it is, or it's not their style or whatever. But at least they would appreciate that. So that tovas hana is also, it's considered to a certain degree mamon. So then he says, I'll pay you a certain amount for that. So now the braisa says. So now the braisa describes the nensu. So now what happened was there was an oynes with these dresses or whatever on the way. So what level of shomer is he? Again, if he's considered a shoyel, then he's going to be chayiv and everything. If we consider him to be a shomer chinam or shomer sacher, then he's potter for oynesin. So bahalicha chayiv, if it's on his way to his father-in-law's house, then he's chayiv. Now, Rashi explains, actually, that the reason is not really so much because of the dinim of shoyel, it's really because it's considered that he bought it. since he had established, he had worked out a price with the he had worked out a price with the woman that he bought it from. He had told him that if in the end they accept it from me, then I'll come back to you and pay you $100 for these dresses. So therefore, it's considered at this point, since he figured out an amount and he did mashicha on them, then therefore at this point he's considered a buyer, and therefore of course he's going to be chayev. He's going to be on the hook for anything, the same way as any time you buy something, then you're the one who takes the responsibility for it. So Rashi is saying that nothing really to do with the dinim of shomrim. There is a lot of discussion among Rishonim about this. We actually had this case as well in Nedarim. We had this about a year and a half ago when we learned Masechta Nedarim. We had the same case over there, and there the Gemara seemed to understand it has nothing to do with Kotzat Damim, with establishing the price of the thing. There the Gemara had seemed to say that the thing is because it's a shoyl, which more directly relates to our Gemara over here. And the Gemara had explained over there that we're talking about further on in the Gemara over here, we're going to talk about that he may want to resell it to somebody else. The point being that when we talk about something which is very easily resold, you can easily find people to resell it. So Zvina Harifa, the Gemara calls it over there, that would be when he's considered a shoyl. So here Rashi is saying that it's a matter of that he bought it, and there the Gemara seems to be implying that it's a matter of that he's a shoyl. And then on top of that, you have another Gemara in Bava Basra, which Rashi is referring to over here, where that you can have a person where somebody, we can have a case where a person gets a keli and says, you know what, I want to check it out at home. I want to make sure it doesn't have any problems before I buy it. So then the Gemara mentions the point, like Rashi is saying over here, about kitzi domi, when there's a known value for it. So then that makes him like a buyer. So in short, in other words, you have so Rashi over here is explaining the Gemara in the way that it's explained in Bava Basra, but then that Gemara in Nedarim contradicts it, because the Gemara in Nedarim seems to be implying that we're talking about Zvina Harifa, that it's something that he can easily resell, and that he's chayev because of the din of a shoyna. By the din of a shoyl. So let's go through the Gemara over here, and then we'll talk about the various possibilities. Anyway, so we're saying b'halicha chayev, if there's an onus on the way, he would be chayev b'chazira potter. But if it happens on his way back from his father-in-law's house, so in the end they didn't want these dresses, and therefore he's coming back, then he'd be potter mitneshu kenosis sachar, because at that point he's not considered like a shoyl anymore. At that point he's considered like a shoyma sachar. So he does. Rashi points out he does have a hana from the fact that he was able to pride himself on them. He was able to show them, look what nice dresses I bought you. So that exactly fits with what Amemar is saying that Mistabra, it's logical that when we're talking about that he returned it unilaterally, we said that he's chayev for something, we said he's potter after the time is up, after the 30 days are up. Rakhram had said he's no longer considered a shoyl. So now we're saying, yeah, but he still can be considered a shema sachar, and that fits nicely with that brisa that also says that he goes down and becomes like a gnosis sachar, like a socher. So now Tosfos says, one point is Tosfos explained that when it's something, as the Gemara says there in Nedarim, when it's something that he can easily resell, then listen, what he could actually, if he was with, when we say he could easily sell it, well, then why is he bringing it back in the end? Why didn't he just sell it to somebody else on the way and bring the money back to the craft? So the reason must be, Tosfos says, because he wanted to charge more for it. So therefore, that's why he couldn't find anything from it. That's why he couldn't find anybody to buy it. But ordinarily, yes, it would have been not only that he had established a price with the seller, as Rashi says over here, and as the Gemara in Bava Basra says, but also that, as the Gemara in Dorim says, it's Zvina Harifa. It's something, the kind of thing that he could have easily sold, and he didn't, because it's his fault, because he decided to charge more for it than people are willing to pay for it. So then there's other explanations. The Ran there in Nedarim explains that actually it's true. The Gemara in Nedarim is not really going through all the details. The Gemara in Nedarim mentions the point of Zvina Harifa, that it's something easy to sell, and therefore the Moicher, in other words, is not really gaining very much, because the Moicher could have kept it back in his store and he would have easily found somebody else to buy these dresses. Therefore, you can talk about that the guy who the chosin who took it is getting more of the Hanah. So the Ran actually says there, it's true that actually it would also have to be that that there was tzitzas domim, that he actually established the price, and therefore in effect he becomes a buyer on it rather than a shoyel. So the Gemara there just doesn't bother giving all the details, but in Baba Basra it gives more of the details. And then a number of Rishonim also agree with the Ran on that and say that you would have to have in order for the chosin to be chayiv, it would have to be both that they establish the price and that it's something that could easily be resold. The Ritva gives a different explanation. He says that that the Gemara it's enough that it's zvina harifa, that's something that would go short, that would be sold very easily. And he draws a distinction that in fact there would be a difference whether in fact the one Gemara says is going to be a shoyo, one says he's going to be a lekeach. It's really going to depend on that point whether there was tzitzas domim or not. And the Shittim Kubetzes also discusses. He says that when there's a fixed price, as Rashi said, chotzatz domim, then even if it's not zvina harifa, even if it's not something that he can easily sell, then still he's considered a buyer. The same way, anytime that you buy something and you pay money for it, you're a buyer. But if they hadn't established a price, then you could say he's not a buyer because they haven't decided on a price yet, and he may still decide he doesn't want it at the price that the other guy wants, but he can still be considered a shoyel. So then we can discuss that. So in other words, the two Gemaras, says the Shittim Kubetzes, may be talking about different cases depending whether they established a price which is enough to consider him a buyer, or whether they didn't, and in that case he's a shoyel, and the Ritva makes a similar distinction as well. Okay, in any case, the point is that we see, like a Maimar saying, that yes, from being a shoyel, he goes down only to a Shem Asafa, not to a Shem Echinam, and that fits nicely with what a Maimar said, that when you have a shoyel returning something after the time is over, and he's returning it unilaterally without the owner of the thing telling him, send it to me with your evid or whatever, then Raf Ramad said he'd be potter. We don't mean potter completely. We mean that he would still be like a shemesh. Okay. Getting back now to now the Gemara continues actually with cases like that. With a case similar to that, as far as this case where you buy something or you're taking something intending to see whether they want it or whether you're gonna return it. So the Gemara tells Ahu Gavr Dezabin Lechamra Lechavre, a person sold a donkey to somebody else, and he tells him, Come on Tinale Leduch the plane. I plan to take this donkey to such and such a place. Imizdabna, if I can sell it over there, I'm not buying this donkey for myself, I'm buying it to resell someplace else. If I'm able to sell it over there, muta, then good, and then it's a done deal for Eloi. And if not, then I want to have the option, mahadown ilon lein yaloch, then I want to have the option of returning it back to you. So it's somewhat similar to the schosen with the dresses or whatever. Ozal, so he went with the donkey, v'loy yizdabna, he wasn't able to sell it over there. Or bahadi de ka'osa, when he was on his way back, itnis, then there was an onus, and something happened, and the donkey died. And now the question is he chayav? So here again, Tosfos says that it was zvina harifa, it was something he could have easily resold, provided that he had been willing to charge a fair price for it. Here he was trying to get extra money out of it, and therefore that backfired on him. He wasn't able to sell it at all, and now the donkey's dead. So is he chayav to pay? Or is he chayav to pay for it or not? Also, so the seller came to Rav Nachman for a din Torah, and the lekeach, and then Rav Nachman made the lekeach pay. So Rabba says to Rav Nachman, how could you say that? We just said before, in the case of the chosin and the dresses, that if something happens on the way back, he's considered a shomer socher. So the same way over here, it was an onus, he should be considered only a shomer socher. Why are you being mechayev him for an onus? So the answer is, so the difference is, unlike in the case that I said it wrongly before, actually, in the case of the chosen, there's no possibility that he's going to go sell these dresses on the way back. The question is strictly, is he going to give them to his kala, and she and the family are going to keep them, or is he going to return them to the seller and pay him only tovus hanor? There was no possibility of him selling it on the way and bringing the money to the seller. I was saying that wrongly. So therefore, we can distinguish between halicha and chazara, where on the way back, he's not a shoyel or a seller, he's not a shoyel or a buyer for it anymore, now he's downgraded to a shomer socher. But Rav Nachman says, in this case, going either direction, Chazora dahai halicha hi, him returning is also considered the same as the going. My timer, svarahu, because what's the svara? Bachazirose ilo ashkech lezabuni, when he's on his way back, if he found somebody to buy it on the way back, milo zovna, wouldn't he have sold it? After all, the whole point was he bought this donkey to sell. Unlike the chosin is not buying the dresses in order to resell, he's buying them in order to give to his kala. So therefore, in this case, in either direction, he's still going to be considered a shoyal, or depending on the different considerations that we said before, he might be considered a shoyal, or he might be considered a lekeach. But either way, he's going to be on the hook for the oinsim, and he's going to have to pay. So again, you have all the discussion that we had before about which one is he going to be, a shoyal or a lekeach, with the various implications that we'll have one for the other, depending whether there was katzat damim and so on and so forth. The Yad Ramah actually points out, he says that no, when you're buying something to resell, it's always called zvina harifa. When you have the case of the chosen, you can distinguish between whether the seller was easily able to sell these dresses to somebody else, where there you can say that in that case, and then he has no hana giving them on consignment to the chosin. The chosin is the one who has all the hana versus if the seller, anyway, if these were gathering dust on his shelves for a while, then he has a certain benefit from the fact that now finally here's somebody willing possibly to buy them. But in the case of the donkey over here, there's no such thing. The Rama says there's no distinction. Either way, he'd be considered a lekeach because it's easy enough to resell this to somebody else. The Gemara continues. The Mishnah continued. Shmurli v'eshmer l'chol shemah sachar. We had a case where Reuven says to Shimon, "You watch this thing for me, and I'll watch your thing for you." So then we said it's a shemah sachar. Now we're going to learn later on. We're going to learn in the eighth parak of Amasechta in great detail about the concept of shmirah b'baylin. The pasuk tells us by a shoyl. If you borrow something from somebody else and the owner is with it, which we're going to learn later on, and we're going to talk about that it means that the owner of the thing is working for you at the time, then you're potter from anything that happens. Unlike a regular shoyl who would be chayav here because balav imay lo yishalim, he doesn't have to pay. So now the Gemara asks, when you have each one is saying that I'm going to watch your thing for you, v'amai, why should he be chayav for anything, even for a shem asachar? Shmira b'baylim. This is the equivalent of shmira b'baylim because you have the other guy working for you. And look, when it says lo yishalim, it's not only the shoyal. Later on, when we discuss this in the eighth parak, we're going to explain that it applies to all shemim. So as long as the owner of the thing was working for you at the time of the she'ela, then it's considered shmir of a bailin. Well, the same way over here then. So if Reuven and Shimon are watching each other's things, so each one is doing work for the other one at the same time, therefore they should both be potter. The answer is, Amar Papa, do Amar le shmir li hayoyim v'eshma l'chol mocher. The case is where Reuven says, you watch my thing for you today, and I'll watch your thing for you tomorrow. So now, shmir of a bailin does not apply because that only applies if he's working for him at the time when the she'ela begins. So he's saying that no, you're working for me, or my working for you, whatever, is only going to begin tomorrow. So therefore it's not shmir b'bayim. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, more details about that. When one person says, Shmoli v'eshma l'cha, you watch my thing for you, and I'll watch your thing for you, and I'll watch your, you watch my thing for me, and I'll watch your thing for you. Or Hashileni v'ashilcha, you lend me something, and I'll lend you something. Shmoli v'ashilcha, or watch my thing for me, and I'll lend you my thing. Hashileni v'eshma l'cha, or you lend me something, and I'll watch your thing for you. All four of those cases, they're considered shomer sachar to one another, because a shomer sachar, you don't have to have that he's had that money is trading hands or whatever. It's enough that there was a hana that he's getting from the other. So again, the Gemara asks about my shmir of a bailim. Again, isn't it shmir of a bailim? So Rashi explains the question is not so much on three out of the four cases. Only when you have eshmoli, shmoli, v'eshmolacha, then that's the question. When he says, for example, lend me your thing and I'll lend you mine, or when there's lending involved, there's no bailim because the bailim are not doing work for him. They're just, he lent him the thing. On the other hand, on the other hand, there are Rishonim who disagree with that and say that after all, since a Shomer, the Rambam in fact holds, the Rambam holds that no, then he is, even all four of these cases would be, the Gemara is asking, would be considered Shmira B'Bailim. And the reason is, the Smeh explains, the Rambam would say, because after all, when you're a Shomer, you're a Shoyel, means you're Chayev for all Onsen and everything, therefore that's enough to make it that you're working for him, and therefore Bala Vimai. And then Sivis discusses, and then Kovitz Shurim discuss different possibilities. Why not? Why does Rashi disagree? Because after all, Shoyl is Kolan Al Shaloi, so therefore he's not really so you can't really say he's working for the other person. He's guarding it really for his own benefit, so he doesn't become Chayev. And then Rabbi Chanan Wasserman gives yet a different explanation that basically the Shoyl is gonna, again, a similar idea that it's for his benefit because he needs to be able to return it at the end of the time. A nafkamina between them would be about a soicher, where a soicher is potter for einsin, so then would we say that he's considered working for the other guy. So again, the question is, according to Rashi, the question is specifically on the fourth case, specifically on the one case of Shmodi v'eshmalacha. According to the Rambam, the question would be on all four of them. V'amai shmira b'baylim, isn't that a case of shmira b'baylim, and he should be potter, like the pasuk says? And again, the answer is Amar Papa Domali Shmodi ayoyim v'eshmalacha l'macher, because it's not that he's saying that you watch for me today and I'll watch your thing also for you today. They're trading it off on different days, and therefore that's not shmira b'baylim. Later on, when we learn about this in the eighth perek, we're going to discuss if you have, for example, that you borrowed or rented something on Sunday, and then the guy is working for you on Monday, even if the onus happens on Monday and the owner is there, you're still going to be chayev, because it has to be that on Sunday, when you borrowed the thing or rented the thing, at that time the owner is working for you. And here you don't have that because he's saying it's only going to be lamach. So the Gemara tells another case, hahanhu ahalui. There were these people who sold ahal, which is in English it's called aloe, and they use it for washing clothes and things like that. So there were a bunch of people who were going around together selling that product. The kol yom have ofi lochad minai. Every day they would have a rotation where one of them would bake bread for everybody else. So one day they told one of the guys from the group, bake for us bread today. So he says to them in return, "Nitruli glimoi, watch my coat for me." Adosa, by the time he came back from baking the bread, Poshuba, the other guys had been careless and hadn't watched it carefully, and the ignor when it got stolen. Also, the kamei de papa, so they came to a din torah to papa chayvinu, and the papa obligated them to pay for the coat. So the Chacham asked her papa, why should they be chayev? Isn't this a case where they were pesheya, but the owner was working for them? Now we're going to have later on, again, when we discuss this in the eighth parak, we're going to discuss there is an opinion that says that when we say that you're potter when ba'olavimai means even when you were pesheya. And Tosfos points out the question really is that later on we're going to have the Chachamim who are arguing on this point, Rav Acha and Ravina. When we say Ba'ol of Imay Lo Yishalem, does that include even if it was Pesheya? We're going to have a Machloikas Rav Acha and Ravina on that, and they were after the Papa. So if we have an example over here where a Papa passed in this way, then they should be bringing a proof from what Rav Papa did. And since they're not, then that means, in other words, that so the question was then. So Pshia B'Bailim, it would seem, is potter, or at least there's a very strong svara to say that it's potter. So why are you being mechayev then? So the Gemara says Ichsif, so the papa was embarrassed that he had forgotten that. But L'soifi Glein Milsa, eventually it turned out that there was a particular detail missing that made a difference. Dahu Shaita Shichra Habakashasi. At the time when the friends were supposed to be watching the garment and then they were Pesheya, he wasn't baking bread for them, he was drinking beer. And Rashi explains he hadn't begun the baking yet. So therefore, in short, when they were showing him, he hadn't yet begun the work. If he had begun the work and after he baked, then he was drinking beer, then they would still be considered Pshia B'Bailim. Because again, he was working for them at the time when their Shmira started. And that's the key thing. But here, since their Shmira started and he wasn't yet working for them because he was first drinking, then therefore it's Pshia without the owner. And therefore then, so it turns out that our papa was correct to be Mechayev then. An interesting thing we find over here with Rapapa. We're going to have a few examples later in the Masechta with Rava. We have a few places in Shas where we find such things where an Amora paskins a halacha, and they ask him, and the paskins a din Torah, and they tell him, wait, but isn't the din such and such? And he's embarrassed that he had forgotten that, and then it turns out that actually the circumstances were different, and his psak din was correct after all. So this is an example of the kind of siyata dishnaya that the Eibishter gives a rav to be able to decide the halacha correctly, even when he doesn't have all the facts in front of him. In particular, the Gemara elsewhere mentioned that this is a talent of Shevet Yehuda, has this particular thing. There is, in fact, a very interesting point that the Ishbisser says on it, and then Reb Tzadik HaKoyin of Lublin continues and then develops that point that we find particularly with Rava, and here we're finding it with Rav Papa, who was Rava's Talmud. There's the idea, the Gemara elsewhere mentioned, the point of a Dayan who done din emes la'amito. Not only he judges correctly according to the halacha, but he judges correctly according to the facts that are in front of him, and Hashem gives him that siyata d'shmaya, and especially they make the point, the Ishbitzer and then Rav Tzadik, that Rava, it seems, maybe was from Shevet Yehuda, and therefore Taka, he had that special ability, that special siyata d'shmaya that the Gemara mentions elsewhere about that. So that would be why Hashem made it, that would be why Hashem gave it, put it in his mind to paskin this way, and eventually the facts turned out to be what he said. He says, by the way, also, this is why when we say the Torah tells us you're not allowed to go through a court case in front of Goyim, unless you can't do anything in front of Goyim, unless Beis Din doesn't have the power or whatever, but you have to first go to Beis Din, and we say, even if the Goyim decide their laws exactly the same way as Lahavdil, we do in Halacha, part of the reason is they don't have that Siyata Dishmaya, so you could have, but there are facts that they don't know of, which would make the case much different, and they're not going to realize that, whereas the Eibishter helps that a Rav will. Famous story involving the Noda Behorda that I've told over a number of times, where when he first became Rav, he had an opponent in of Prague, that he had opponents in the community, and they decided to trip him up by asking him some complicated question in Halacha, and he came out with the wrong answer, and they were saying, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, and he explained that this wasn't a real case. I understand that this was only a hypothetical case you're asking me, and therefore the Eibishter doesn't give me that degree of Siyata Dishmaya. Getting back to the Gemara, so the Gemara says, "Hanich l'mandar amak pshir b'baylim potter." Well, this story works out very nicely according to the opinion that we're going to have later on, that even when we say shmir b'baylim is potter, means even if it was pesheya. So therefore, that would be mishum hachi ichsif. That would explain why Rav Papa was first embarrassed that he thought that he had passed him wrongly, and then it turned out that he was right after all because it wasn't shmir b'baylim because he hadn't started the work yet. But according to the opinion there that says that anyway, when we say ba'olavim elo yishalem means for the normal chiyuvim of shomim, for things like gneva, aveda, onus, or whatever, you'd be potter when the shmir of ba'olim, but pshia, you're going to be chayev no matter what. Am I ichsif? Then according to that version, why is Rapapa embarrassed? Either way, whether the guy was drinking beer or not, these guys were pashaya. And therefore, either way, these guys were pashaya, and therefore, according to that opinion, they should be chayav anyway. So the Gemara says, Ella, rather, we have to answer like this. Hahu yom lavdi dehav. The answer is like this. It wasn't his regular day to bake that way. So originally, we assumed, in other words, yeah, they had a rotation, and today it happened to be his turn, and so they told him, go do what you're supposed to do, because it's your turn, and he's telling them, watch my garment for them. The Rimi Gash, by the way, adds a detail over here that it has to be that he gave them the garment to watch it. That you can't say that he gave them the garment to watch it. Then the fact is he was still with them at the time. He's not baking for them yet. Then there's no question. It's Shmir B'Bayim. It has to be that it was lying someplace and he told them to take it from there and watch it. So at the moment when they took it, then at that moment he should have been baking, and meanwhile he was drinking beer. So if you say that Pshia B'Bailam is Chayev, then what's the problem? In the first place, why was Rapapa embarrassed? Ella, no. How who yom alav did they have? The answer is, according to that version, we would have to say it wasn't, in fact, that guy's turn to bake that day. But they told him, even though it's not your turn, please go and bake for us anyhow. So he answers them, you know what? I shouldn't have to. Really, you should have to pay me for it. But instead of you paying me, instead, naturu glimai, watch my garment for me. Well, that makes them shomer sachar. Ad also ignum, and then by the time he came back, it was stolen. Also, when they came to the Din Torah, and the Papa said, he isn't the Shemir of Abaylim, because again, he's working for them. When they watched it, Ichsip, and then the Papa is embarrassed, and it turns out that he was drinking beer. So in other words, according to the first version, it was they were Shemir Chinam, and the problem was that they were Peshaya. According to the second version, there was no pshia over here. There was shemir sachar, and it was stolen. Well, everybody agrees that when there's shemir of a bailim, a shemir sachar is going to be potter for gneva, because that's how shemir of a bailim works. That's why the papa was embarrassed that he hadn't realized that. And then it turned out that he was right after all, because it wasn't shemir of a bailim, because he wasn't baking the bread yet; he was drinking beer. So again, the point is, according to either version, the Eibishter gave the Papa special Siyata Dishmaya, and he was able to come up with the right halacha, even though he didn't have all the facts in front of him. Again, we're going to have examples of that later in the Masechta as well. Involving Rava, you have the special point that certain Chachamim are granted extra Siyata Dishmaya like that. Another case, the Gemara says, Anu Beit Shrei Dehavu Kamasku Ba'urcha. There were two people walking on the road. One of them was tall and one of them was short. We'll see soon what the relevance of that is. The tall one was riding on a donkey. He had his coat was made out of linen. Now linen doesn't absorb very much water, so he wasn't too worried about it getting wet if they come to a river. But Gutsa Michasi Sarbala, the short one was wearing a sarbala, which is a woolen coat. And if you go in the water with it, it's going to get very heavy. So the Kamaski Bakare, and the short one is walking on foot. He doesn't have an animal to ride on. Kimati Lanara, they came to a river, and the short guy didn't want his coat to get wet. Shakli Lasarbala, so he took his coat, his woolen coat, the Osve Lobichamra, and put it on the donkey that the other guy was riding. The Shakli Lasdinidahubi Kasi Bay, and he took the other guy's linen coat and covered himself with that. So because he figured that way, I'll be better off going through the water. Even if it does get wet, it won't absorb that much water, because linen doesn't. Shapfua Mayalis Dine. But then what happened was the current swept away the coat, and now is he chayev to pay for it. Also, the Kamei de Rava, so he came to Rava for a din Torah, chayve and Rava made him pay for the coat. Omelet Abonon the Rava, so here also the Chum asked Rava, am I She'el of a Bailim? He isn't it She'el of a Bailim, because this is the case where each of them is doing something for the other one, because the tall one who's riding on the donkey is allowing him to put it on his donkey, so therefore he's doing him a favor, so that makes him a shomer socher for the other, and vice versa, so therefore he should be potter. Ichsif, so again, Rava was embarrassed. Well, Sophie Glaim Ilsa, in the end, it turned out that there was a detail that hadn't been said during the din Torah, de beloy daite shakli, beloy daite osve. When the short guy took the linen coat, he didn't tell the other guy first that he's going to take it. And when he put his woolen coat on there, he didn't tell the other guy. I guess with Pashtus, we have to understand, he just stuck it into one of the bags on the donkey. We put it behind him or whatever, so he didn't know anything about it. Well, then in that case, so now it's a matter of that he was shoyl shalemi das, which is considered a gazlan. So now it's not a question of shemir abaylim anymore. Now it's that he was good. He was a gazlan, and therefore he's going to be chayev regardless. And the chidushim am yuchosh from the Ritva, and the Ritva talk about different angles about this. That really, even if he did have permission to put down his coat, then he'd still be chayev for the linen coat, because he took that without permission. And then the other way around, that once he put his woolen coat there without reshus, then even if he took the other one with reshus, he'd also be chayev, because it's a shoyl and it's no she'el b'bailim, because he didn't ask the other guy to watch his coat. So in other words, you need, in order for him to be potter, it would have had to be that he asked the other guy to watch his coat, and that or can you let me put my coat on your donkey? And can I borrow your linen coat? And the fact that one or both, in this case both of them, were missing is enough to make him chayev. Why are we mentioning the point that one of them was tall and one of them was short? So the Teres Chaim has a discussion about that. One point is that since the tall guy is tall, he's obviously not going to be wearing the short guy's coat. It wouldn't fit him anyway. So therefore, so therefore. So that's why the Gemara mentions that detail, because otherwise it's not a, otherwise you would think it's Hashileni Vashilcha, like we said before. You lend me your coat and I'll lend you mine. But the tall guy is not going to be able to wear the short guy's coat. So then obviously it must be that he only wanted to put it on the donkey, not in order for him to use it. There's different other details and possibilities that Achronim talk about what exactly is the relevance of mentioning that he's that they're tall and short also helps explain. The Torah Chaim says how is it that the coat got swept away anyway, because since it was a longer coat than would fit him, then it was much easier for the water to sweep it away, and therefore it was an onus. Nevertheless, he's still fine. Okay. Another case, the Gemara says, a person rented a donkey to somebody else. Omalei tells him, Chazi, I want you to see when you're taking this donkey, don't go by the road of Nahar Pekud, the Ikamaya, because there's water on the road over there and it's dangerous for the donkey. Zil ba'urcha de Neresh, the Lakamaya, instead, you're going to such and such a place, go by the road through Neresh where there's no water on the road. The other guy didn't listen. He went on the Nahar Pekud route, and the donkey ended up dying. Well, Zichayev, Kiosa, Omar, when he comes back, he says to the owner of the donkey, Ein ba'urcha de Nahar Pekud Azli, yes, it's true. I did end up going on that route that you told me not to. But right at this point, there wasn't any water on the road. So therefore, in other words, yes, the donkey died, but it had nothing to do. You were concerned that it's going to get damaged by the water, and therefore I'm going to be a problem, and therefore there's going to be a problem. But in fact, there was no water over there, and the donkey died from something else. Rava says, Male the Shaker. There's a different gear set, there's Rava. Anyway, so Rava says, Male the Shaker. What does he need to lie for? E boy Omale, after all, he could have equally well told, he could have said a better lie. He could have said, I went on the Neresh road. So he has a Migri. Omale Abaya, Male the Shaker, Mamkaim Aidim, Layam Rinan. But Abaya says, you don't say Male the Shaker, you don't say a Migri when there's Aidim. So what kind of edim are there? So Rashi says that Anan Sadi, we can be edim, that there's always water on that road. It's a known thing that the Nahar Pekud road has water on it. So therefore he would be chayim. A couple of other explanations among Rishonim. One of them being, one point is, the Ritva points out, in other words, that you could look at it, that generally, there's water there. Most of the time, there is. So Rava would say that since it's true most of the time there's water, but sometimes there's not, and therefore maybe the guy would have a migra. And Abaya is telling him that no, most of the time there's water over there, so therefore it's considered like a. Actually, the Rabbeinu Yohanan and Shita Mukubetzis brings from Rabbeinu Yohanan that a point is that what it is really like this, that the guy is claiming the reason why is there always water on the road, because there's always a river that runs across it. Well, this particular time, the river was dried up. Now, what happens is when we say Bimkoim Edim, so he says it means that there were Edim that same morning there was water there. So now the guy wants to claim that by the time he came there in the afternoon, the water had dried up, then we can't believe him on that. Had it been, in other words, according to that way of looking at it, it's not a non-sadi that we're Edim that there's always water there. We have Edim that there was actually water there that same morning that he went across there. So therefore, he's going to be chayav. Okay. The Gemara says, back to the Mishnah, we said, Shmor liv omalei hanach lefonai. If Reuven says, watch this thing for me, and Shimon says, put it down in front of me, then he's a shomer chinam. So omar avuna, omalei hanach lefonecha. Now, if he says Hanach lefonai, put it in front of me, then he's going to be chayev as a shomer chinam. But if he says put it down in front of you, then he's going to be ainu lo shomer chinam v'lo shomer sacher. Then he's going to be neither kind of shomer, because in effect, what he's saying is fine. Now you want to put it down over here, gezunta hay, but I'm not taking responsibility. You can watch it yourself. Now iboilu. So now we have the question: Hanach stoma. What if he just said Hanach without saying specifically lefonai or lefonecha? Mai. Then what would be the din? So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's prove from our Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah, Shmorli v'omalei hanach lefonai. If Reuven says, watch this for me, and Shimon says, fine, put it down in front of me, shemachinam, implying ha stoma, but implying that if he didn't say lefonai v'loi klum, then he wouldn't be chayiv for anything. Otherwise, the Mishnah could have told us that, that when he says Hanach, he's a Shem Echinim, and we don't understand how much more so when he says Hanach Lepanach. The Gemara says, Adrabah, on the contrary, Mid Omer Rav Huna Hanach Lepanach, given that Rav Huna is saying only when Hanach Lepanach, then he becomes a Shem Echinim, implying, only when he says Lepanach in front of you, then he's not a Shem, because then he's saying you can watch it if you want. Implying that if he says Stam, then he'd be a Shem Echinim. Now, of course, the Rav Huna can't contradict the Mishnah, but the point is, in other words, that a number of Rishonim explain that the Gemara knows, look, Rav Huna understands the Mishnah a lot better than we do. So if he's going to say his din in connection with Lefanecha, and he's perfectly aware that the Mishnah says Lefanai, then it means, in other words, that maybe Davka, Davka is mentioning only Lefanecha to imply that maybe Hanach without saying anything is different, or maybe not. So Ella Maholakala Mishmarina. So you can't really prove one way or the other. It's true that the diuk of the Mishnah would be that if he says Hanach without saying Lefanai, he wouldn't be chayiv at all. On the other hand, Rav Huna, who knows the Mishnah perfectly well, is saying Hanach Lefanach Cha, that he's neither, implying that Hanach would be chayiv. So you can't really prove one way or the other what the diuk from the Mishnah should be. Well, the Gemara says Lema Katanoi. Should we say that this is actually a machlokas tanoi? We learned in Baba Kama, we had a case over there where a potter comes with a bunch of pots that he wants to sell, and he brings them into somebody else's chotzer, and then the owner of the chotzer has a shur which goes and breaks the pots. Or we had other examples. He has a shur and he brings it into the other guy's chotzer. He has payrus and he brings him in. Whatever. In all those cases, we learned in the Mishnah over there. So we said if he brought them in without reshus, then the owner of the chotzer is potter because you have no business bringing your pots or your payrus or what have you into my chotzer. But v'im hichnis b'reshus. But if he brought them in with permission, the Mishnah says bal chotzer chayev. Then the owner of the chotzer is chayev. Because how did he come in? The birushus means that the guy told him, come on in. And when he says, come on in, ul in Aramaic means come on in and implies, and I will walk through things for you. Rebbe Omer, on the other hand, Rebbe says, b'kulam eni chayiv achei kabal balabayis lishmer. Rebbe says he's not chayiv, the balabayis is not chayiv, unless he explicitly says, I will watch it for you. So just saying, ul, come on in, does not mean I will watch it for you. So therefore, it sounds like, in other words, so when he's saying, come on in, seems like the equivalent of saying Hanach. And so come on in means fine. You can come on in with your pots, but you can watch them yourself, according to Rebbe, whereas according to the Chachamim, we would say, come on in implies, and I will watch them. So then Hanach would be the subject of a Machlokas Tanoim. Rebbe would hold that he'd be potter, and the Chachamim would hold that he'd be chayim. But the Gemara says, not necessarily. Mimai, who says that that's the correct understanding? Dilma, ad kam, the ka'amir, abonon hosim, ela b'chotzer. You know why the Chachamim are saying over there he'd be chayiv? Because it's a chotzer. The bas naturi, it's a place where there's not that much tircha to watch something that somebody brings into the chotzer. When you bring something into a chotzer, in the first place, it's understood you're bringing it in to watch there, because there's not much tircha. The chotzer is surrounded by walls, and therefore it's fairly safe in there anyway. So therefore, the Chacham say we can assume when he tells him ul or ayo whatever, come on in ayo de interloch ka'omalei, it means bring it in and implying I will watch it for you, because once you're saying bring it into my chotzer, automatically that means the chotzer is a safe place and it'll be fine and then I'll watch it. But here, when he tells him, let's say they meet up in the street, and he tells him, Hanach, just put it down. We're not necessarily talking when he brings it to his house. We're talking about, let's say, that Reuven and Shimon meet up in the street, and Reuven says, can you watch this thing for me? And Shimon says, Hanach, well, it's in the street over there. The marketplace is not a safe place where it's so easy to watch it. So then it's more likely to mean, according to the Chachamim, that Hanach would mean fine, you can put it down, but you have to stay here and watch it. I'm not taking responsibility. So yes, the Chachamim, who say that over there he's chayiv, in the case of the Chotzer, might well hold that over here he's potter. Inami, or you could say the other way around. Ad kan le'komer Rebbe hosim al b'chatzeron. You know why Rebbe says over there that he's potter, unless the guy says, I will watch it for you. Because after all, even in order to bring it in the first place, you have to ask reshus. You can't just barge in with your stuff and bring it on your own. You have to ask him, can I come in? So when he gives him permission to bring it in, not necessarily does he mean, and I will watch it. He may well mean, you can bring it in, but you have to watch it. But over here, when it's talking about in the street, he doesn't need permission to put it down in front of the other guy. Therefore, maybe Rebbe could say, when he says put it down, it may well mean, put it down and fine, I'm willing to watch it. Because otherwise, why does the guy need to ask him? If it just meant put it down and gesunt ahead, you can sit it and watch it. What does he need to tell him hanach in the first place? If he just wants to put it down there in the street, does he even have to ask the guy for reshus? Therefore, Rebbe might well say that in such a case, then he'd actually be chayev because the very fact that he told him hanach, which he didn't even need to do, he could have just not said anything, implies that he's taking on the responsibility to watch it. So we don't have a proof whether the Chachamim and Rebbe would hold the same way over there as they do over here. In the end, the halacha is that if he just says Hanach, plain, then we say that also Veloy Klum, it doesn't count as anything, and he's not considered that he accepted Shmira. Only if he says Hanach Lefonai, if he says put it down in front of me, then we would say that he's chayev as a shomer chinam. But otherwise, he's not chayev at all because he's saying, put it down, and then it's not my business what happens with it after that. Okay.